Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
I feel bad about my rant about college football.
Yeah, you roasted college football pretty good.
In comparison to the NFL, when it comes to the actual quality of the play on the field, it's just hard for me sometimes to watch. Like quarterback play in college football compared to quarterback play in the NFL.
Oh, geez.
It's just night and day, obviously. So it's different. Like,
quarterback play with starters in the NFL is night and day from backups in the NFL.
I felt genuinely bad about saying that it's a bunch of bad football players out there with a few good ones in college football, because it's obviously they're all really good. It's all just different levels. But the big thing, the one thing college football does way better than the NFL is the innovative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of the good – Andy Reid, one of the things that's made him as good as long as he's been is because he's one of the guys that watches and borrows from college football. He'll bring college football coaches in to scout and ask them, hey, what would you be doing versus this? Because like – NFL coaches kind of get in their own silo sometimes, and there's a little bit of like some of them, their egos are a little bit fluffed up. Where in college and high school, they innovate a lot more. So, I didn't mean to say that like college football is trash. It's just when it comes to the actual level of play, obviously, there's a big difference.
Yeah. Our friend Coach Lease was listening, former coach at Episcopal. He coached Jalen Waddle and Walker Little. He listens to the show all the time, and he was texting during that segment. He says, as a high school coach, he would watch college football solely for the just to see like different X's and O's and plays and formations that might work.
No, and it is. And high school, like most of the innovation in football happens at the high school and college levels. And it's, and they are. And sometimes it's because like they don't. You know, you're at school, it doesn't have the same resources. In the NFL, everything, like, the talent level is relatively even from team to team.
Yes.
But in college,
you're forced to be creative.
How the hell am I going to beat Alabama?
You're forced to be creative. It's survival instinct.
And you can be more creative, too, because the punishment isn't as quick and swift and severe as if you – sometimes you try something innovative in the NFL and it doesn't work out, you're getting destroyed.
You get
smacked around. I didn't mean to insult like an entire
genre of sport. It's all right.
I mean, I kind of – it's just different, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. All right, speaking of innovators.
Yeah.
And you know what? And
he was an innovator. Jerry Jones?
I was about to say, you know what? I'm saying that sarcastically.
Shut up about how innovative he was 30 years ago.
What he was doing 30 years ago was innovative.
He loves reminding people that he can't be criticized for anything now because 30 years ago his team was really
good. The wishbone was innovative at one time.
He's really, you know, he's become as Al Davis.
Yeah.
He's become, because Al Davis was really innovative in the 70s, but then he just kind of stayed the same.
Yep.
And that's where Jerry Jones is now.
Here was Jerry Jones asked by Jane Slater. This is about a minute, excuse me, about a minute and 15 back and forth with Jerry Jones and the media and talking. Jerry starts going into this wormhole about how he bought the Cowboys with a handshake and a smile back in the day. Eye contact and a handshake, Seth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So here's Jerry Jones chopping it up with the media in Dallas. This obviously is all centered around Micah Parsons and trying to get a deal done or not with their standout defensive player.
It's my understanding nothing was put in writing. So how would you describe a deal getting, so to speak, done and then walked away from?
I bought the Dallas Cowboys with a handshake. Took about 30 seconds and gave the number, shook hands. The details we worked out later. As a matter of fact, one of the details involved a lot of money, and we had to flip a coin over that. But the fundamental, I'm buying, and you're going to sell it to me for that range, that's done. And those are done with eye contact and handshake.
So is there...
So just so you understand why the way that I communicate with people that I negotiate with. So but let's leave it at that. There is no question that in the case of a player contract, you have to have it in writing. All parties do. We have a contract in writing, yet we're still talking about renegotiating it. So much for that.
So what's the sticking point for you right now at this point?
Again, there are no point. There's points of varying degrees of influencing, not having something done, but nothing that I would say is out of the ordinary.
So I didn't really understand what point he was getting to other than that. Does he believe they have a contract and it's just quibbling over minor details now?
He
feels a little put out that there's quibbling over
details? The original story was that Jerry said, we had an agreement. Me and Micah talked and we agreed. And they basically agreed about money and parameters, like generalities.
Without the agent being
involved. And Micah said, talk to my agent now.
Yeah.
And that's when Jerry shut everything down. I'm not talking to your agent.
This is the problem. It feels like a record producer saying, like, no, that I signed that. It feels like a Motown record producer.
This does.
Saying that, like, I had that 16-year-old kid sign a contract for 29 albums, and I own the rights to everything forever.
And if that were the case, Jerry's got Micah's Defensive Player of the Year trophy on his mantle.
Yeah.
Like those producers had gold records back in the day.
Yeah, exactly.
I won this Defensive Player of the Year award.
Man, players got agents for a reason. Yeah. Like, you making a deal with Micah and feeling like you had something. And especially Micah, there's so many things about Micah Parsons that he feels like an innocent child in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, like he's just kind of like a wide-eyed boyishness about him and just like he just seems like an innocent kid. And that, no, man, you can't get up here and act like, well, Micah and I, the billionaire, sat with 23-year-old Micah Parsons, and I know he's not a kid, but, like, he's a player, he's not a businessman, and we came to an agreement, and now the agent's making things more complicated. No. Micah hires an agent specifically for situations like this.
Here's what's so weird. This is what's so weird about this, is that Jerry Jones is acting like Micah Parsons is the first player to ever have an agent. You've negotiated contracts with and for hundreds of players. You've been the owner of the team since the late 80s. You've been the general manager of the team since the late 80s. He's acting like Micah telling him to talk to his agent is some sort of novelty.
Right, and because like back in the day, he and the previous owner of the Cowboys spit into their hands and shook hands.
I'm guessing there was paperwork after that.
Well, he did. He said there was, minor details and they had to flip a coin and all that. But, yeah, like all that aw shucks, and this is the problem, is that the NFL has become the giant that it is partly because of Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's elements of this that it doesn't operate the way a guy might buy a horse back in 1873.
Yeah. That is one thing. You know, we're going to have the McNairs on a little later. I'm not going to ask them to talk about Jerry Jones, but the Texans operate the complete opposite way of the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Right? That's a factual statement. When it comes to these big contracts, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and now Micah Parsons, they drag their feet. They have to overspend. And in the case of Micah Parsons, they're alienating their best and most impactful player, most impactful defensive player. The flip side of that is Nick Caserio, who takes care of Derek Stingley Jr. a week into the time that he's eligible for an extension. Nico Collins, you don't see third-round wide receivers get extensions after 3 years. Nico Collins did. Now, that's turned out to be a very good team for a very good contract for the Texans, and I think for Nico, too, considering the injuries and everything else. I think when we're here next year, you know, I don't know if we'll be at the Greenbrier, but when we're at training camp next year, my guess is we will be talking about contracts that have been done for Will Anderson Jr. and C.J. Stroud. If that were the Cowboys, we would be talking about it happening at best a year from then, 2 years from now. So I am curious about what Cal and Hannah think about how Nick operates, you know, and getting these deals done so quickly and paying market value, maybe even a little above market at the time, just to get in early on
them. But he's also right. You're factoring in the inflation factor.
For sure.
Where think about like if you're operating in the real world in business, and if somebody told you, we know for sure there's going to be 10% inflation every year for the next 10 years, or we have a pretty good idea. Like that's A, be nervous. But B, in the real world.
Yeah.
But B, that's the environment in the NFL is for the most part, there's going to be salary cap expansion like at a pretty healthy degree. So you can get ahead of that and you got to make decisions with that. With Jerry, this just goes to show you how out of touch Jerry is. It's a big deal that Jerry claims he didn't know the name of Micah Parsons' agent.
That's a big deal.
Means that Jerry thought he was going to be able to make a handshake deal with Micah Parsons for one, and that B and two didn't realize that, man, Mulligetta is not a guy that's just going to go gently into the night with a feel-good, hey, my player made a handshake. Like, Mulligetta is a really, really good agent.
Yeah.
So it just showed, like, Jerry's so far behind the ball. Like, he's so far behind the times and the way the business is operated that it's, like, obviously any Cowboys fan would tell you, he should have ceded control either to his son or made the director of personnel there.
Will McClay. Yeah.
Will McClay, the GM, a long time ago. It's that's not a revelation. It's just this is another illustration of it.
I don't want it to ever end, honestly. You know, as a Texan fan and as somebody who gets entertained by any Jerry Jones soundbite, I want him to live to be 100 managing this team.
And honestly, I don't think it's – there's not really any evidence that it's – he's not – it's not senility or anything. I mean, he's been this wacky for 30 years.
Yeah.
He couldn't make it work with Jimmy Johnson because he just Jimmy just wanted all Jimmy wanted was to be able to run his football team without all of this extra distraction and hoopla.
Yep.
And Jerry just couldn't he couldn't stand to the side and let that happen.
Yeah.
You know, like so it's like this is the same Jerry from 30 years ago. It's just in a different environment, and it's one which he's responsible for.
It's one of the great what-ifs in NFL history.
Yeah.
If Jerry had just stepped back and let Jimmy run things, how many Super Bowls would they have won?
Yeah, how many more? Like, right. Yeah,
they won three.
Yeah. I mean, Barry Switzer kind of cruise-controlled into another one.
Yeah.
But that is a good question. Yeah.
Right? I mean, because
the free agency was really just starting to.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd only had real free agency for a few years at that point.
Yeah, 93, I think, was when real free agency hit. So, yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you as we head towards the top of the hour. We're live at the Greenbrier just outside the Sports Performance Center, hanging out on a cool, overcast West Virginia morning. Texans practicing in pads today. Up next, I had a chance to talk with Texans right tackle, right guard. We'll just call him an offensive lineman. Titus Howard yesterday. Good conversation about Titus. Changes in the O-line room. What's this season like? His leadership role. And he named one thing that he was jealous about when it came to Laramie Tunsil.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got that as well. We've got that for you coming up next. Hey.